Welcome to each one. It's good to be together as a church family and to be encouraged by each other's presence, fellowship, study, conversation, and through the Word this morning. The title message is Hearing the Voice of God. That could be a big subject, but I want to narrow it down to just hearing. Hearing the voice of God. I believe that's something we all want to hear. It's something probably all long to hear, the voice of God. To hear it as clearly as God spoke in the Bible to Abraham, to Moses. To hear that clearly. As he spoke to Samuel and to David, to Paul and Peter, and to John on the Isle of Patmos. To hear it that clearly. Then you say, if I heard God's voice like that, I would follow. It wouldn't be a question. I'd follow God's voice. But there's so many voices out there. How do you know which is the voice of God? The other day, we were sitting in the living room, and the girls started talking about phys ed class. And they started talking about cookie crunchers, an exercise called cookie crunchers. I'm not going to demonstrate, but it's an exercise where you lay on your back and put your feet at a 45-degree angle, and you just hold it there. And you hold it there for a certain period of time until they tell you to start letting down slowly, slowly. And I thought, that's no big deal. So I did it, and, it was harder than I thought. And they were both yelling and screaming at me, trying to tell me when to start going down. And I think they were trying to see how long I could do it. And I said, stop. I said, stop. I want one person to tell me when I'm supposed to do what. And that just reverberated in my mind of the voice of God, how there's so many voices out there. And did you ever just stop and say, I want to hear from God? There's so many voices. I'm confused. I'd just love to hear the voice of God. And then we say sometimes, well, God, why are you so silent? Why aren't you speaking to me? I believe I needed this study as much as anyone to realign my life to hear God's voice. I don't think for a moment it's God's problem. I think it's at our end, the hearing end. The verse that encapsulates so well what I want to talk about this morning is Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Just stop and consider that verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is knocking, wanting to talk, wanting to converse with you. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, allows Jesus to come in, he says, I will eat with him and he with me. A picture of communing with God. That's a beautiful picture. I want us to wrap our minds around this morning. Now, God has promised to make his voice known clearly in these last days. Reading from Hebrews 22, But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the holy Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And this is a message for all who have been called out. It says, The voice of God that has been shaking the earth in the past will shake the earth again. Verse 25 and 26 says, Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more will I not shake the earth only, but also heaven. In verse 26, For if they escape not who refuse him who spake on the earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Why is God gathering a people? Why does God want a people to listen, to hear his voice in these latter days? Because he's calling us out of Babylon, out of the voice of the false prophets. And he wants us to hear his voice only, a people that have been called out to hear his voice, a people who do not follow false teachings, who know their master's voice. God wants to speak clearly to us, intimately with us. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to be directed by his voice, comforted by his voice, guided by his voice. And one of the great characteristics of a people, of a holy people, is that they know the voice of God. They're not mistaken the voice of God. They know it. They hear it. Their lives are governed by it. It's steadfast, unmistakable. I believe that's what all of us want today. We want to hear that voice of God. We want to guide us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to instruct us. I believe with all my heart that we want to be that holy people that God is speaking to in these last days. And the question I ask myself, am I willing to do what it takes to hear the voice of God? I have four things I want us to consider. The first one is God longs to speak. God's always had people to converse with who were guided by his voice. Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord. It was sin that made them hide in fear. It said, I heard the voice of the Lord, and I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Abraham, who became the father of many nations, heard the voice of God and obeyed the voice. Genesis 22, it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Again, hearing the voice of God. And because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Moses was a man. Abraham was a man who heard the voice of God and obeyed. Again, Moses, the great man of faith, did nothing without hearing the voice of God. In Exodus 19, I'll be reading a few various verses here. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the voice said unto Moses, and Moses said unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, and God spake. You get the picture of an intimate friendship with Moses and God, of conversing back and forth, of Moses wanting to hear from God and God longing to talk to Moses and how to lead his people well. Along with that, God seeks a people who honors his voice and obeys his voice. Deuteronomy 4:10, God said to Moses, gather me a people together, and I will make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. They long to hear the words, to hear the words of God. Another one, Deuteronomy. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no stimulitude or form. Only ye heard a voice. In verse 33, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Deuteronomy 4:36, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that thou mightest instruct thee to hear his words. Deuteronomy 5:24, and ye said, we have heard his voice, and have seen this day that God doth talk with men, and he liveth. I don't know what that does to you as far as a picture of God, of wanting to converse with you, but he's longing to have an intimate relationship with each of us. He longs to commune with us, but we need to hear his voice. Second thing I want us to consider is, but we don't always want to hear. God longs to speak, but we don't always want to hear. The children of Israel wanted to hear God through a mediator. They wanted someone else to tell them. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, the people told Moses, go near and listen. He says, go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says, and tell us whatever our Lord God tells you, then we will listen and obey. You get the picture. I don't want to hear from God. You go get the message from God, bring it to me, and I'll obey. Fast forward that to today. Is there any wonder why so many people are led astray? Is there any wonder why thousands are being led to false teachers and false religions? They put their lives in the hands of pastors and teachers, and they hold them as God, and they become God to them. And whatever he hears, what they hear, and whatever they teach becomes the gospel. There's a lot of people who live that way today. They hold teachers and preachers up as gods. And when you go get the word from the Lord, and whatever you say will obey. I believe God has ordained teachers and pastors and set them up, but they're not God. We're fallible. We're humans. We are not God. Let's not forget Acts 17. It says, now the Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if it were so. Examine it through the eyes of scripture. What does scripture have to say? Even Moses, the meekest man, misspoke. Listen to Psalms 106, verse 33. It says, for they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came out of Moses' lips. Did you hear that? Moses got mad. Moses, the meekest man, got mad. Now, if Moses, the meekest man, misspoke, what about us? Not that we do it intentionally, but you get the picture. We cannot hold people and teachers up as the absolute authority. We need to hold God's word up as the absolute authority. Why are thousands of people looking to new gospels that blaspheme the cross, that teach the blood did not atone for sins? And the list could go on. But Jesus was not a sinless man. And you could fill in more and more things that are being taught today. That they do not know the Master's voice. For if they knew the Master's voice and the true voice of God, they would be screaming and shouting that this is false, instead of embracing it as gospel. Think of the destruction in Deuteronomy 8:20 of a nation who disobeys God's voice and will not hear his voice. As a nation which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Not hearing the voice of God. God will destroy from before your face. God spoke to many people in scriptures. I'm just going to highlight a few to refresh your memory. The Lord talked to Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. It says, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Thinking on to David. David heard God speak, and he turned and spoke with God. And God's voice was his joy in life. How about you say, well, that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Let me refresh you about Saul in Damascus, on the road to Damascus. The light shined around about him, a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And for the rest of his life, he testified, I heard the voice of the Lord. Before King Agrippa, he said, I have heard the voice speaking unto me, saying in a Hebrew tongue, and he said, arise, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. And how about Peter? Peter heard the voice of God, and in prayer he heard God speak. I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord. But the voice answered me again from heaven. This was done three times. God did speak in the Old Testament. God spoke in the New Testament, and God speaks today. Do we believe that? That God wants to speak to us today through His Spirit. The third thing I want us to consider is that there's many voices. There's many voices out there claiming for our attention. There's many people who say, God told me this. And many so-called prophets said, Thus saith the Lord. There's probably a lot of things come or memory of situations where you've encountered false teachers, false prophets, whatever you want to call them. Who said, this is what God said, and this is what God told me, and so I'm going to go this way. Paul warns that there are many voices clamoring for our attention. A lot of them pretending to be God, saying, this is the voice of God, follow me. For a number of years, we homeschooled with Bob Jones Satellite. We had a dish on the side of the house that had a little jigger on the end of it, I'm an LMB module or not, whatever, that attracted a signal. And so I attempted to do this myself. I put it on the side of the house, and you had to anchor it so it was sturdy. And they give you a little compass to hold, and they give you the variances or the latitude and longitude of where the signal from the satellite is coming. And it was so precise. Sometimes I wanted to just throw it away. But you would get it just about right, and your strength signal would come up, and your signals would come up to where it's supposed to be. And so you tighten down the dish, and all of a sudden, it wasn't there anymore. And then you start all back over, try and get that signal. And that satellite, up in the wherever it's at, has thousands of signals, of satellites receiving signals from that satellite. And for me to get the right one, I had to fish through all those other signals to find the right signal. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the voice of God, how there's so many voices out there today clamoring for our attention, trying to say, this is the right way, this is the right way. And if we're not careful, we become disillusioned and confused. And if we trust any of those voices without lining them up through the scriptures, we'll be led astray. Because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a voice of my flesh. There's a voice of my stubborn will. There's a voice of the enemy. There's a voice of the world. And there could be other voices out there. And they're all sweetly coming to you and say, this is the voice of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Walk ye in it. There's many people and many prophets saying, thus saith the Lord. But a lot of them are speaking their own agendas and their own ideas, and not God's. Turn with me to Ezekiel 13. I'll read verses 1 through 8. Where God addresses this very point. Ezekiel 13, 1 through 8. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Get the picture. Prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imaginations, hear the word of the Lord. That is the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirits and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to break the walls, to the breaks in the walls to repair it for the house of the Lord so it can stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, their deviations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have ye not seen false visions, uttered lying deviations when you say the Lord declares? Though I have not spoken, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because your false words are lying visions. I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hands will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying deviations. They will not belong to the council of my people, nor be listed in the record of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. I don't believe this just refers to prophets, but I believe this refers to believers who do not understand that sometimes they may be talking out of their own desires and not from the word of the Lord, not that the Lord has spoken to them. Here we have the prophets of Israel who were prophesying out of their own imaginations, out of their own selfish heart, and saying, this is what the Lord said, when actually it is not what the Lord said. They were convinced it was God's voice, when all along it was their own voice. And they were saying, this is the Lord. They were misleading people, saying, I have spoken. And the Lord said, I'm against you. I'm against you. That's hard words. And it begs me to ask the question, am I speaking what the Lord wants me to speak? Am I hearing the voice of the Lord? Or am I being misled? God also said, I'm not going to speak through people who are hiding sins and lying or harboring idols where God is not number one. I'm going to read Ezekiel 14, 3 and 4, and then verse 8 and 10. These men have set up idols in their hearts and put stumbling blocks in their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up idols in his heart, and putteth a stumbling block of iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. I will stretch my hand out upon him, and destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophets shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh after him. That's hard words. That if you have idols in your heart, and the Lord's not number one, and you're speaking of lies and out of selfishness, says, I'm going to be against you. That they know there's sins in their lives, yet they're coming and speaking as the Lord has spoken to them. This verse comes to my mind, Galatians 6, 7 says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, you shall reap. God will not be mocked. If you're out there speaking as the Lord has spoken and it's not of the Lord, God is not mocked. You will not get away with it. He said, God will let them hear deceptive words, and that will be their punishment. They will hear voices and prophecies, but they will be false. Be deception, because you're hiding your pet sins, you're hiding the idols in your hearts, you're not willing to give them up. Ezekiel 14:5 says, you will think God is speaking to you, but it is a judgment, because you are estranged from me through your idols. That's hard words. But God wants all of you. God wants to be number one in your life. God doesn't want you to say one thing and live another. God wants you to hear his voice and wants you to follow his voice. It says, not only those who prophesy, but those who follow after will receive that judgment. Fourth thing I want us to consider is hearing the voice of God. I believe God is very careful who he speaks to. I believe God is very careful who he speaks to. And I think it's only those who value time with God, time to get away, to shut the whole world out, and to get alone with God, that God will speak. Consider these men in Scripture who have got away and heard God's voice. God's voice came to Moses when he was alone with him. The word came to John the Baptist when he was alone in the wilderness. The voice of God came to Jacob in the desert of Haran. God spoke to Joshua when he was out of the camp alone before Jericho. The voice of God came to Paul alone in the desert. The voice of the Father came to Jesus alone on the mountaintop. Now, as I've studied, I believe that when we're alone and have time set aside for God, God will speak. Pray to him in secret, and God will reward you with hearing his voice. Jesus gives a dreadful warning in two parables I want to share, and how busyness and sin can choke out the voice of God. The first parable is in Mark 4, 18 and 19. The parable of the sower. With the voice, the word is the voice of God. It says, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, and the deceits of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in and choke the word," or the voice, "and it became unfruitful." I believe there's some of us as Christians who our lives are being choked by these thorns, these things. And it's choke, the word choke means to crowd out. If you take your hand around your throat and start squeezing, you're going to crowd out and you're not going to be able to breathe. And in this parable, he's teaching that the thorns are choking the voice of God. We can't hear the voice of God. God once spoke clearly to you, and you can probably remember times when God spoke clearly to you, and it was such a joy to you. But as life goes on and life happens, we say, things crop up, you get busy, and our own desires crowd out that time to hear from God. And there's things consuming our time, there's things screaming for our attention. And in the midst of all that, Scripture says the voice gets choked out. The word gets choked out. The word of the voice of God grows dim. He's calling you. He's speak to you. He's warning you. Keep this up. You'll totally choke out and die. And you won't hear my voice. Some of you like conversations more than others. Usually when there's a conversation, there's two people. And they meet each other and they start talking, and one person talks, another person talks, and the other person talks. So in order to have a conversation, there must be a talker and a listener, and then a talker and a listener. So it goes two ways. You need to talk and you need to listen. Did you ever try to have a conversation with someone who doesn't listen, who does all the talking? I was going to try to imitate that this morning, but yeah, you get the picture of someone who comes up to you and, "How are you doing today?" and doesn't stop to let you answer, and then goes on to saying how they're doing and what they're involved in and what they're doing and more of what they're involved in, and before you know it, "Well, I got to go. See you later. Thanks for the conversation." And you say, "I didn't say nothing." Do you ever think God feels that way? We come to God, we address God, and we talk to God, and we say, amen, and we're done. I'm speaking to myself. Or did you ever try to talk to someone who's asleep? Or it doesn't go very well. They usually don't respond. How many times have you started to pray and fallen asleep? And you expect God to, you expect to hear from God. And then we wonder why we're not hearing from God, because we are having this conversation with God that's one-sided, or we're asleep and we don't hear from God. And we become so busy and bogged down with cares of life that hearing the voice of God would do no good anymore. It says in verse 19, it becomes unfruitful. The voice becomes unfruitful. It'd be a waste of time. This is a believer. This is a believer who the word has taken root in their heart. They know the voice of God, but now it's self getting in the way of the voice of God. And there's no time left to get away and hide with God and to hear God's voice. And the voice becomes dimmer and dimmer until the voice of God is no longer heard. Now the flesh does the talking, and human desires take on a voice. And what is desired now becomes God's voice, God's will for them. And what is presumed in our intuition now becomes discernment. And that thorny hearer who has been choked out the voice of God, every voice now is the voice of God, because it's so loud and so clear and so frequent, he thinks it's the Lord speaking to him. I don't believe it's the voice of God at all. I don't believe it's Holy Spirit discernment, unless it's born in secret closet in prayer with God, out of a deep communion with him, out of a broken spirit. I believe then God will speak. That hits me between the eyes. Is that where I'm at? Has flesh taken on the voice of God in my life? Has my desires become now God's will for my life? Has my presumptions now become discernment? I believe God's people who long to hear his voice, if they would pull the thorns out of their lives, repent of their idols, and get alone with God, not leave until he speaks. Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. I believe God's seeking to give us a fresh word every day. Every day God wants to give us something new, a fresh word from him, manna for the day. Hebrews 3:7-8 says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God is a today voice. It's a now voice. He wants to hear. He wants to speak to you today. The second kind of heart in that parable is in verse 16 and 17, where Jesus warns about a stony heart. These are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. Afterwards, the affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, Immediately they were offended. I believe this typifies a heart that loves to hear the Word of God. But I don't believe it sinks in. It does no effect on the heart. It's like rain on a parched ground. It just bounces off and rolls off. And it does not sink in. It does not change them. Their hearts remain unbroken to His voice. And their heart turns to stone. I was thinking, how do we develop that kind of heart? I think it's by refusing to allow God to hear God's voice, to take the time to hear God's voice, to break our wills. We may hear the word, we may read the word, but it does not penetrate. We do not obey the word. The word cannot take root. And every day, we do not allow God to hear from God in prayer. We ignore what He wants to say to us. He wants to talk to us about our walk, about our problems. He wants to give guidance about the future. Jeremiah 7:13 says, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. I called you, but you answered not. Each time we refuse to go our own way, to do our own thing, and refuse to listen to the voice of God, it's one day of getting harder, of the ground getting harder and harder, until we no longer hear the voice. On the other hand, there's that heart who loves to hear the voice of God, who seeks to hear His voice, who takes time to hear His voice. He knows the voice of God, and he receives it as his source of life and strength. He knows the peace that it brings, a peace that passeth all understanding. He hears the words of the Lord. This is the way, walk ye in it. And when the voice of the Lord is not heard, in our walk with God, in our ministries, in our personal lives, I believe we run around as people without a mission. We're on our own because we don't hear from God. Maybe we're doing good things. We're taking on challenges. We're taking on new things. We're burdened with things. But we're taking on things that were never meant for us to take on. We're crying for help. It's not going well. I can't understand. I was so burdened about this. But the question I want to ponder myself, I want you to ponder, was it born out of prayer? Was your mission born out of prayer? Was it God's way? Was it God's will for you? And once we come to that place, a place where we totally depend on God's voice for our direction, we won't move another step unless we hear from God. Unless God has commanded it. Because what God commands, what God originates, God supports. And I wonder how much heartache in our lives and our ministries are a result of us doing good things, but it just wasn't God's will or God's timing. And we weren't sent by His voice. Maybe it was out of our own desire. Not that it was wrong, but it wasn't God's voice. Jesus was not making move except he heard from heaven. John 8:28 says, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. I speak to the world of these things which I have heard of him. The Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Whatsoever I therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Let's consider the voice of God. How do you determine the voice of God? Do you spend time alone with God in prayer? Do you move until you have heard the voice of God? How about the parables? One of the stony heart, or the ones with the thorns. Are things rising up and choking out the voice of God so you can no longer hear? This morning I want to close with good news. Good news from Ezekiel. A hard heart, a stony heart, a thorny heart is not terminal. That is, if you want to change. It's not something God did to you, but rather something you put on yourself. In those parables, you once had life. You once had that love for God and wanting to hear his voice, but something choked it out. Listen as I read from Ezekiel. Here's a promise God has for each of us today. I want you to ponder this. And they shall come hither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from hence. And I will give them a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away a stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they walk in the statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from your filthiness. And from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. What an awesome picture of God changing our hearts, giving us a new heart, a heart after God. I want you to consider a number of questions here as you think about hearing the voice of God. We heard how God hates those who listen to other voices and prophesy in his name. And as Christians, we want to hear that voice from God. I believe all of us here would long to hear God's voice. Amidst all the voices today, I think it's so important that we listen to the voice of God and take that time to hear God's voice and hold the voices up against the grid of Scripture. Does it line up with Scripture? I have a number of questions I'd like us to consider. His voice always brings you to Jesus, a place of humility. Jesus heard his voice and said, I saw him, and I fell at his feet. John heard his voice and said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet. The voice of Jesus brings us to a place of humility. Second thing is, his presence always accompanies his voice. You'll be overwhelmed with joy by the glory of his presence. Number three, his voice will give you a scriptural assurance. The Holy Spirit will lead you in confirmation with his word. Everything God speaks must line up with Scripture at all points. Number four, does it lead you closer to a relationship with God, to a greater unity with him? Number five, does it lead you in expressing love, which is putting God's benefit and benefit of others before your own benefit? Number six, does it lead you to dying to yourself and a greater manifestation of Christ's life in you. Number 7, does it cause greater humility in you and greater dependence on God? And the last one, does it cause you great love, joy, and peace from God in you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your promises of your word. God, I thank you that you're a relational God, that you want to hear from us, and you want to speak to us. But Lord, too many times we don't want to listen. Whether it's intentional or not, Lord, sometimes we find ourselves in a place of business, and things get in the way and choke out the voice, and we do not hear anymore. And our own desires take over as your voice. Lord, I confess that I need more time with you, more time to hear your voice. And I pray today for outpouring of your spirit among us, outpouring of your voice, that we would be open to your voice and to hear your voice. You said that in Scripture that my sheep know my voice and they follow. So Lord, help us to be wise, to discern the voices that are out there, the voices clamoring for our allegiance, to follow the true voice, the one that leads to everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.